Drivers, start your engines.
Recording live from the NASCAR Man Cave in the Motor City, this is the Lap Traffic Podcast with Tony and Brandon.
I gotta ask you something. What are we all here to do? We are all here to do what Falcons do.
Look at that!
To feed and to fight and to soar high, baby.
He's caught! Touchdown Atlanta!
To clamp down and take what's out.
Oh, look out!
Do we just get up?
Rise up!
Oh, no! Falcons, rise up!
All right, Lap Traffic Nation, welcome to another show here in the Man Cave. I am Crew Chief Tony, episode number 40, along with the professor. How you doing, B?
What up? Been a little better if I didn't have to play that.
Yeah, well, you know what? So for those of you who aren't all caught up, but they are a lap down. If they didn't listen, you're absolutely right. But we did make a small wager with our friends at PETM, yes. Atlanta Falcons fans. Obviously, they played the Detroit Lions,
seemed right to make some type of friendly.
Totally.
That.
And we've done it before, and that's yes. they always play by the rules. We'll play by the rules. That's fine.
We're 1-1 with them now. So.
Boy, they had to have. I mean, like number one, the touchdown was called back,
whew.
Right? And then number two, there's only 8 seconds left. You don't get to even run another play. I mean, that's like winning the lottery twice.
Right?
I mean, that's like that was close, but it was a good game.
Ford Field was electric, dude. Like,
yeah, you were there.
I've been to a lot of cool football games, and when they somewhat scored there with 10 seconds to go. That place went nuts. I've never seen anything, heard anything like that. And then to get the crowd, like, just, I literally was waiting for, like, there to be a small, like, riot outside Ford Field.
So I've said this for years and years and years. If the Detroit Lions fan base is amazing for the product that they've given us,
right,
which is
still
virtually zero, the place is jammed every week. If we ever won the Super Bowl,
oh my God,
I don't even know what would happen. It would.
I just want a home playoff game.
Yeah, right.
Baby steps,
you know. But to think about it, so, you know, the Falcons are good. I mean, they were in the Super Bowl, right? And so it was a good game.
Yeah, no, it was great
all the way around by both sides. And
yeah,
and I thought it was really good. But for those of you who aren't from Detroit. Understand that the Lions break our hearts like this. We'll get our hearts broken just like this about three more times this year.
Oh, easily.
That's just Detroit Lion football.
Yes,
and it's weird.
It's nuts.
But we're not here to talk about football.
Well, we got to give a couple shout outs to the boys in blue. The boys in blue.
Well, they had a rough that first half.
I'm telling you, not that I wish injury on anybody, but I am glad O'Korn got put in that football game.
Amen. Right?
Because if Spate was still in there. I think they would have lost that football game. And I hope there's an evaluation at practice this week on who gets the starting gig this weekend. They're actually on their off week this weekend.
Yeah, the Michigan quarterback, O'Korn, I mean, I think he made a case for himself.
I think he...
To stay in.
Yeah, yeah.
Pulled away from... got a win on Purdue.
Yeah, yeah. Tony, how's your fantasy football?
Yeah, we're not
doing?
Talking about we're not moving talking to the next about? Subject. No, I'm 1-2. We're in two leagues. I 1-2. What about you?
I'm in 4.
I know you have one of them. You're 3-0.
I'm 3-0 in three leagues.
Oh wow!
And the league that I care the most about, which is the cheapest buy-in, but everyone just busts balls on a weekly basis. I'm 1-2.
Oh.
And of course that was the one I was projected to go, you know, all out in. Yeah, so I'm. Taking a lot.
Story.
I'm taking a healthy helping there. Let me tell you.
Story of my season so far.
Tony, we put a last minute guest together.
And an incredible guest too. I love this stuff, man.
Dude, this is what I live for with this. Now we got Xfinity race winner from Kentucky this weekend, Tyler Reddick, is going to join us here in about 15-20 minutes.
And what a great story! First Xfinity win.
Yeah.
Now we've watched him run trucks.
Yes.
We saw him in Eldora, remember?
Yeah.
He and Kyle Larson just put on a clinic.
They did.
in the dirt, and we'll talk about more of that later. But he's got a lot of stuff coming up in 2018, and I'm excited to talk about it.
Absolutely. In the meantime, Tony, the trucks was the Christopher Bell show, apparently.
It was. It was all Christopher all the time.
So, Tony, first race of the truck playoffs, how do you rate it? What's your thoughts?
Well, I think, you know, the cream rises to the top, right? You know, I think Christopher Bell's just, you know, he's got the bit firmly in his teeth, and he's going for it. Ryan Truex was right there. Todd Gilliland, who unfortunately took a penalty there and rear brake assembly something. But, man, I think that's his first time in the trucks, yeah?
Might be.
I mean, what
I'm not,
incredible run for him to finish in third. You know, but here's what stood out to me, though, is that Noah Gregson, you know, and some of these guys that you think were going to run pretty good, Kaz Grala, Johnny Sutter, they were in the second half of the field.
Yeah. Well, you know, when I look at the trucks, I'm making maybe a stretch with this analogy, but Christopher Bell is to trucks, in my opinion, this season, what Martin Truex Jr. is to Cup.
Pretty much.
I mean, the guy's winning stages, he's winning races in dominating fashion and going out there and kicking ass and taking names.
Head down, running hard.
Yeah. He's going for it. I don't see how he's not in the final four at home.
You know, the guy who I really felt for, though, was John Hunter Nemechek.
Oh, brutal, dude.
You know, losing a mechanical failure really hurts.
Yeah.
But that's part of the, you know, that's part of the sport.
All part of the game, man. I got to tell you, I really think he might have a shot to bounce back, though.
Yeah.
I'm
not going to count him out.
You know, he's what, 7 points off the cut line? Because they're only, truck's going to knock it down to two. They're not knocking four down. So they actually got a week off. Or no, they race this week. Then they have a week off. And I think he probably has one of the more fighting chances, I think, to get it done. He's
absolutely.
He's been to victory lane twice.
Here's the thing, though. You know, he's still young, you know.
Yes.
And he's got a good truck, but he's got to be patient. Right?
Yeah.
And it's sometimes hard to reel that in a little bit and not get a little aggressive,
sure,
you know, over exuberant. Right?
Well, I think we saw that at Michigan with him when he went into turn two, lap two.
I was trying not to use that analogy, but
he
had the fastest truck at Michigan.
Yes.
And he just was like, I'm going now. I'm not playing around. And it was too early, but
yes.
But you know, when there's, you know, it's playoffs now. Now he's got to go
playoffs.
But I just hope that he, you know, just sticks to the game plan. And he's got a lot of great experienced people around him. I'm sure he will. But it's easy to make a small mistake, and it can cost you.
Tony, so when we look at the trucks next week, they're going into Las Vegas for the second race of the first round. Then they're off a week, and then they end round one at Talladega. That's an interesting shake in the schedule there to have round one end at Talladega.
I love it.
It's awesome, right? I think that's awesome, especially for the trucks, because they'll go out there and they'll put on one hell of a show.
That's going to be a remarkable show.
Who can make some noise at Las Vegas so that they don't have to worry about Talladega?
I would think the guys that can make noise are probably going to be... it's got to be one of the Toyota guys. You know, they're just making good power. I mean, maybe a Matt Crafton, you know. You know, they just seem to be all the way across the board. They're just making a couple more horsepower.
Sure.
Yeah. What about you?
You know, Matt Crafton was in my mind. But when I look at one name on this list going into a plate race that I think could make some noise is Kaz Grala.
It took the words out of my mouth.
Won the truck Daytona. Apparently might like the restrictor plate. Yeah. I think that would be a cool Cinderella story.
The
if
other
he can go
guy
into
that
Talladega.
I would watch in that scenario, Talladega, based on experience and experience alone, is Johnny Sauter.
Absolutely.
He knows how to do it. He's been there. He's done it. And he's won it.
And he's one of the veterans in the truck field, like Matt Crafton and
sure.
your Norm Bennings and all that type.
Hey, Norm had a good run.
Norm had a really good run. 19th? Not bad. Hey, you know, getting out there, getting the job done.
Man, you know what? The guy is incredible. He's got no sponsors. I don't know how, you know, he's doing it from week to week and literally week to week. But,
yeah.
You know, he doesn't start and park.
No, he goes and runs.
He goes and runs.
He's out there to run. And you know, I'm sure finishing 19th's got a little bit higher payday than, you know, 35th or absolutely. Wherever. 30.
You know the crazy thing? So we met Norm at Eldora, right? I've only met him like three times. I've seen him ever, whatever. Every time I see Norm Benning, he's always got four women around him. It's ridiculous.
He's the Ric Flair of NASCAR.
He is, man. That's an awesome analogy. Yeah. He's always got, you know, I don't know what it is about him, man. We have to get him on the show sometime.
That'd be cool. That'd be a lot of fun. That'd be a lot of fun. So anything else from the trucks there?
No.
I'm looking forward to them going to Las Vegas.
Yeah, that'll be good.
I think
that'll be a good test to see who has to really push at Talladega and who can not risk it quite as much,
and
right?
And riding it back.
Yep. Okay, want to hit some social media?
Sure, yeah. We'll knock this out a little early here today. Make sure you check out our website, thelaptraffic.com. Like us over on our Facebook page, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Tony, we eclipsed 500 followers
we did on
Facebook, which is very cool.
And thank you.
Over on Twitter, at LappedTrafficPC, we're over 1,600 over there. So 2,100 social media followers. I'm sure some of those are duplicates, but that's okay. Make sure you tell your friends about us. Check us out on iTunes or Podbean. Subscribe. Set it to auto-download. Leave us some comments out there. That'd be awesome. Don't forget about our contest. At 2,500 Twitter followers, we're giving away a signed Lapped Traffic t-shirt by the Eldora Truck Field from this past summer. Ready for some shout-outs, sir?
Yeah, let's go.
Over on Facebook, Nick Graff from Norristown, Pennsylvania. Jeff Mackin from Olive Branch, Mississippi. Big Kevin Harvick fan, so I had to throw him in there, of course. Andrea Renee from Pleasant Lake, Michigan, who is a big fan of Brad Yunker.
Who's not?
Any fan of Brad Yunker is a fan of Lap Traffic. So welcome to the show, guys. Over on Twitter, call me Tuck at NetTucker1967 from Rhode Island. Corky at Corky781, big BJ McLeod fan, found us from them retweeting about the show last week.
And he was a great guest.
He was so cool.
I really enjoyed talking to him. And it gave me a different perspective on everything that we've been talking about.
Absolutely.
Honestly,
so. It reshaped some of my thought process. I'm not going to lie. And that's awesome. And Twitter and social media really gave a lot of positive reception to the show last week and enjoyed hearing BJ on the show. So
yeah, I heard a lot of that.
That was fun. Jules at JulesPS48, an English teacher and a diehard NASCAR fan. So welcome to the show. Java Man at NASCAR and Coffee, lover of all things coffee and NASCAR. Nicole at...
You need to introduce him to NASCAR by marriage.
No kidding. Let's see. Nicole at Blaney_Elliot, loves her some Earnhardt and Elliot. Welcome to the show, guys. Make sure you check it out. Tell your friends, and we will keep...
Yeah, just retweet us and follow us and... And it all counts, and we really do appreciate it.
Absolutely. We'll get another batch of stickers and koozies out here in a couple weeks, maybe in the next week or so. I've got about four or five new requests. So if you want Lap Traffic stickers, koozies, all that, visit our website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Hit the Contact Us page and fill that out with your address, and we'll get that out to you. We got $15 t-shirts on the website if you want to help support the show. Tons of colors. There's hoodies. There's zip-ups. There's all kinds of goodies. There's the official Lap Traffic Sippy Cup available. We haven't talked about Sippy Cups in a while.
We've been knock on wood.
We've been pretty good there.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, 6 pound, 4 ounce, little baby Jesus. Sponsored by Powerade.
Tony, we got a really cool email a couple days ago from Scott Morin, and it's so cool that I want to share it. So Scott wrote in, I just wanted to write you guys about our experience at the New Hampshire race this weekend. My friend and I have been going to the September race for the past 3 years, and sadly it's moving. This year was a special race, especially with Dale Jr.'s farewell tour. We arrived at the track around 8 a.m., chilled near the front gate. After a few minutes, a golf cart pulled up, and a track rep from the main office asked if we wanted garage passes and passes to the driver's meeting. The obvious answer was yes. We got the tickets, walked around for the next 4 hours around the garage. I even got to congratulate Cole Pern on a great season. The driver's meeting was awesome. We got to see Dale Jr. signing autographs. Long story short, the track made two hardcore fans really happy and gave us an experience of a lifetime.
All right. So where else does that happen?
Exactly.
Do you go to a hockey game or football game and you get, hey, you want to go in the locker room? No, that doesn't happen.
No.
Right?
No.
But that's what's so cool about this sport.
We rag on it, but my God, they do some cool things.
They really do.
They do.
I'll put it in perspective. You and I, who have full access
yes.
to tracks,
yes,
we can't get into driver's meetings.
No.
Okay?
Yeah, right?
There is a line, and there's one, and it's singular, one single line, and that's where it's at. We can't even get into two of the driver's yes. meeting. And I've been into a couple, and they are really cool.
They are very cool. But, Scott, that's an awesome story. Thank you so much for sharing that. If any of you guys have any kind of stories like that, we are a fan-based podcast. We are. That's what we want to do,
and
that's an awesome story. Happy to share it. Scott, glad you guys had a great time this past weekend. And that, again, that's just something that is special to NASCAR in terms of what they do.
You hear these stories all the time. Like I went to Talladega a few years ago, you know, stagger out of the motorhome, you know, 8 o'clock in the morning, and a golf cart pulls up, and there's three or four people on there.
Sure.
Yeah, this guy jumps up, hands me, you know, the Saturday or Sunday edition of the newspaper, introduces himself. Hi, I'm, you know, I'm the president of Talladega Motor Speedway. Hey, thanks for coming out.
Like, it's awesome.
Really, did the president of the track really just deliver me a newspaper? Right.
Right.
Did that just happen?
Yeah, did that happen? Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But it's really cool. And if you guys go to any tracks, you'd want to take any pictures and pass them along, we'd love to see them, love to pass them along, put them on our website. Feel free to pass those along. And if you want to ship us anything, which happens from time to time, and we love it. Actually, Troy just sent us some cool shirts.
Yeah.
You can do that by sending it to the Lap Traffic Podcast, Post Office Box 725-275, Berkeley, Michigan 48072.
Yes, sir. Scott actually sent some pictures from his experience, which I've already put up on the website. That's how ahead of the game I am.
Oh, they're already up there? But am I a lap behind?
You are. Dude. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Calling myself encumbered.
You ready for some fantasy?
No.
No.
Yeah. Go.
No one picked the 18 of Kyle Busch, which I was kind of surprised at. A lot of strikeouts at the top of the pack, so some of us mid-pack lap traffic fantasy players were able to catch up a little ground there. Cody is still in first with 195 points. Aaron and Mick are tied for second with 180. Rich, Wes, and Chris Lowther are tied for third with 165. Kevin, our crew chief Tony, Chad are tied for fourth with 160. And Chris Coble sits by himself in fifth with 155.
Where are you at?
I have moved up to 11th with 125. So I'm slowly.
So you have a NASCAR podcast and suck at fantasy, but you kill it at
your
fantasy
mouth.
Football. And anyways,
hey, why are you freaking Captain Obvious over here? Like, simmer down.
Hey, just before we go into the final round, I want to be in the garage when Cody goes through the inspection.
Coach, you're calling for a check on his driver's selections.
I want to double check. I want to see the rear end settings on that thing because he's killing us out there, like Martin Truex style.
That's funny.
No, good job.
And don't forget, we're going to do some type of an award show, a little parody thing at the end of the year. We're going to put a link up on the website in a few weeks. If you've got any suggestions for who should be nominated for Race of the Year, Driver of the Year, Parody Account of the Year, we're going to do all that and have a little fun with that, and we'll make sure we tweet and give that its social media due out there once get it out there. I don't want to do it too early. I mean, we still got 8 weeks to go, so maybe in the next 2 or 3 weeks we'll put that out there.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
So.
I like that.
That is that.
Well, we have a guest.
We do have a guest. You ready?
I'm ready.
Let's do it.
All right, and joining us on the line, driver of the number 42, Justin Lynch, Broken Bow Records, Chip Ganassi Chevrolet, and, here's my favorite part, the winner of the VisitMyrtleBeach.com 300, Tyler, the Red Rocket Reddick. Welcome to the show, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing much better after hearing a new nickname that I've heard before, the Red Rocket. That made my day. It made my night. Yeah.
Well, thanks for taking time, you know, and joining us. And congratulations on the win. You guys have been really, really running well. And tell us about your day. I mean, you ran well all day, but to bring it home, I mean, walk us through the race.
Well, it's just just one of those dream come true situations. We had a really good race car in practice, and I knew that it was going to be nice to be able to go back to a place for the second time. We generally are a bit better, and you know, we went back to Iowa for the second time, and we were faster, but we had horrible luck. But the other racetrack that was going to be a place I get to go to twice with Kentucky, and I knew going back in there we were going to have a fast car. We knew we were going to have a better car than we had the first time. We were still pretty quick, so when we practiced, I knew we were going to have a, you know, we were shooting for race balance, and you know, we didn't want to be the, you know, we obviously, if you're the fastest in practice, your car probably not going to be perfect for the race, and we were shooting for obviously race setup all day long, and I was beyond happy with my car after the end of practice, and going into the race the next day, it couldn't escape my mind how good that car was and how much I was gonna have to really put on myself to make sure that it got to the end of that race, because if it did, it was gonna definitely be a fast race car.
And that's a good feeling, getting in a car knowing you got the field covered, right?
Absolutely.
Well, I wouldn't say I wasn't convinced I had the field covered, but I knew we were gonna have a car that very easily finished in the top three. And it's a huge confidence booster when you have something like that, when you have a vehicle like that, and not too often you get a car that good. So I knew I was going to take advantage of it every way I could and be smart with it, because it was a race that people made some pretty aggressive moves, but somehow didn't cause huge wrecks. And in the past at Kentucky, we've seen big wrecks on that speedway since the repave. So really lucky the night went the way it did. Having a lot of green flag runs, it played right to our favor.
Awesome. So we've had 27 Xfinity races this year. You've ran 15 of them, four top 10s, two top fives, now a win. You're 18th in standings with running a limited schedule, which is remarkable.
It's incredible.
How do you guys use this spoiler that you guys basically had on the playoff guys that are running Xfinity? How do you use this to your advantage going forward next week, Dover, and into 2018?
Well, we've been trying to put it to our advantage really all year long, knowing that we're obviously racing for owner's points, and we've got Kyle in the car who's gotten a couple wins. And when they throw me in the car, yeah, you know, we need to run good, but the pressure isn't necessarily on. We've gotten a couple wins. We're going to be in the owner's playoffs when it comes time. And the real pressure was going to start to be applied come Kentucky, and that was going to be the first real race where I was going to have to, all right, I have to be careful. I can't make any mistakes. You know, we can't have a DNF here. We can't finish outside the top 10. It was going to be a big points night, because you only get three races, you know, to really set yourself in stone to make it to the next round. And to be able to win the first race right out of the gun and just put all that to sleep and not have to worry about it for the next two races is incredible. The car was just one of a kind. It was really, really good. And it was a blast to drive, and, to not have to worry about playoff anything for the next two races until we get to the next round will be really nice.
Yeah, that's really cool. And I got to tell you, we've been a fan of yours for a while now. We, Brandon and I, have been watching. Truthfully, where you got our attention was at Eldora last year. You and that Larson guy put on a clinic out front, and it was you two and everybody else were just out there. But so we've been following you for a few years now, but you started in California. There's like a new wave of drivers in Custer and Larson, and all you guys are moving from the West Coast, you know, to North Carolina. Tell us about that journey. I mean, that's not a simple step to make.
No, and it really isn't, but I got to give a lot of credit to the racing community out in California. There's a lot of good competitive families and drivers, kids, and just track promoters that do a really good job of pushing the Outlaw go-karts that run at Red Bluff, that run at Cycleland Speedway, and a lot of the tracks that I got to race at growing up. And, you know, when Kyle makes it the Cup, it only helps those guys out even more, getting more kids into that, because parents know, hey, you know, this Kyle Larson came from this, so, you know, if I can get my kid in this car, maybe someday he could be Kyle Larson. And,
yeah, sure.
Me and Kyle both run that stuff. There's a younger guy named Logan Seavey that's doing a pretty good job right now making a name for himself in the open wheel crowd. He came from the Outlaw Karts. He was a couple years younger than me and Kyle. And there's also another one, Matt Benedetto, who's in the Cup Series, that came from the same thing. And it's really done a good job of, I guess you could say, getting the driver's feet wet with out of control go-kart. Those things were just a lot of fun. And they were just out of control of drive, and it taught me everything I knew to this point, and it's really helped me gotten this far. It's just they were just a handful. I really don't know how to explain it. But, they were just tough to drive.
Like the Legends cars and some of those, it teaches car control, right?
Yeah, no, the Outlaw carts are all about car control. They're the twitchiest little they're chaotic. You're on the edge of control the whole time you drive them, and so it's only perfect that, you know, it helped Kyle become a better sprint car driver and helped me in the late models then coming over to the asphalt stuff where you got a big, heavy car that's got, you know, suspension components on it that haven't changed in like the last 30 years, but we're continuing to go faster and faster, run 190 mile an hour around wow. mile and a half racetracks is incredible. And so when you think about that and what, you know, the cars really suspension wise, they aren't going to handle very good. And when they do handle pretty good, they still don't handle very good. Right. So you got to have a pretty good control on them. And it made the transition over to the asphalt a little bit easier, being able to grow up in those things that were out of the control at all times. Made a lot of fun, but it definitely prepares you for this.
So, Tyler, I got to ask, we've had a variety of responses to this question from quite a few different guys in the Xfinity series that we've had on the show. So we feel it's only fitting to continue with this since we've gotten such a variety.
Yeah, we get a variety of answers.
Yeah. So what's your take on Cup guys running Xfinity? Are you able to learn from them being out there? Should they be limited to the amount they can run? What's Tyler's perspective on that?
My honest perspective is that, you know, if you want to aspire to be a Cup driver, you have to beat Cup drivers and race against Cup drivers. And I feel like if NASCAR takes away the opportunities for Cup drivers to get themselves more prepared for the Cup races coming up in that weekend, or, you know, if they just want some seat time or they just want to win an Xfinity race, like I feel that should be up to them, not up to NASCAR. Tell them, hey, you can't do this. I feel like it should be up to the driver to decide. I want to race here or not race here. I came from dirt racing, and they didn't limit you on how many classes you could run a night. And
Yeah, sure.
I feel like if a driver wants to race three times in a weekend and put himself through that much stress, like Kyle Busch has done in the past, then so be it. Like, the guy loves to race. Don't stop him from racing.
Sure.
So every time I can get an opportunity to race against Cup guys, it's great. Now, granted, Kentucky, you know, we didn't have any Cup regulars in the field, but I learned how to become a better driver at Kentucky because I was able to race against Cup drivers in that field. I got to race against Joey Logano, Kevin Harvick, Kyle Busch, Eric Jones. I got to race against those guys the first time around, and it got me more prepared for the second race. And there's been a number of races where I've gotten to race against those guys that are Cup champions that are running Xfinity races. And I feel like if I didn't get to race against them, I wouldn't be where I'm at right now. So I feel like it's important to be able to race against
those
guys.
We've heard that answer before. I think it was Cole Custer said that.
He said
what you think you're pushing the car to its limits, he said, wait until you go into that corner behind Joey Logano and Kyle Busch.
Yeah. He's like, he's not kidding.
Right. You know, so I thought that was a pretty good analogy. But you touched on it a second ago, and I want to go back to this because we were so impressed when we saw you last dirt. You know, you have a dirt background. What's that transition like going from dirt to asphalt as a driver?
Well, it's pretty simple. You have a huge notebook of just collection of ideas and thoughts and how to think and how to do things. And you take that notebook and you throw it in the trash can. You start from brand new. That's pretty much what going from dirt racing to asphalt racing is like. You just have to start over, and you have to rely on a lot of things that you've just become better at over the years, and that's car control, tire conservation. They're really simple things, but they get you a long way in the NASCAR world because they're so important. How to manage a car that isn't handling good when you can make it better, and getting through to the next pit stop or taking care of tires on a track that wears tires out really fast. And I had to pretty much start from brand new. And every time you go from truck to Xfinity to Cup, it's going to be the same way. You have to start over. The trucks drive completely different than Xfinity cars, and so does Cup to Xfinity. And that's just the way it is. It's all about learning and how fast can you learn. And fortunately, second time around Kentucky, we were able to learn from our first mistakes quick enough, and we were able to win the second race.
Yeah, that's awesome. And we got a similar response here. We talked to Matt Crafton, and he had almost an identical answer. He said everything you know. It's backwards. He says it's like wiping with your left hand. Right now,
so. Well, I'm left-handed, so I wipe with my left hand. So it'd be like me wiping with my right.
couldn't have been a more perfect response there.
All right, well, welcome to the too much information segment of the show.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, all right. That's so, awesome. Tyler, Dover coming up this week. You've not run there in Xfinity, but you've had some success there in the past in the trucks, including a win back in 2015. What are you looking forward to as you guys head into Dover this weekend?
Well, I don't know if I'm necessarily looking forward to it, but it's always a cool new experience when you get to try something new that really hasn't been done a whole lot. And Dover's going to be the second race with the flange fit bodies for the Xfinity series. And, you know, it's completely different than what any of our guys have really got to deal with before. Richmond was really truly the first race. And it's different for everybody. It's different for our pit crew. It's different for the NASCAR officials. So, you know, the guys that, you know, may have had a little bit of an edge going into the weekend, they're still going to have an edge, but it's not going to be as significant because they're going to be coming with, you know, they're not going to have their steel bodied race cars. They're going to have a flange fit car that is more symmetrical than the general steel body cars have been, and they're going to drive a little different. So I'm going to try and take full advantage of that. Obviously, you know, laps do you a lot of good at a lot of these racetracks, especially with a car that has a lot less downforce. But it'll be nice to see how these flange fit cars race on a mile racetrack. We race at Richmond, which is a 7/8, but the speeds are relatively low. In Dover, you get around there pretty quick. So it'll be interesting to see how the flange fit cars hold up and what they really do on a track that the speeds are going to be the highest for them all year when we run them. So it'll be interesting to see. It's going to kind of throw a little kink in the wrenches. We'll see how it shakes out. I know that our guys did a really good job of putting the flange fit cars together, and the craftsmanship on them that they've been able to put into them is great. And hopefully we keep all four corners on it all night long, and or all day long, I should say, and you know, see how it shakes out.
Yeah, well, and no question, you have a great team there, and I'm sure they do a great job of it. But seat time means a lot for all that stuff. But speaking of seat time, big announcement. Tell us about 2018.
Well, yeah, you know, 2018 is 2018, right?
That's a big announcement. This is larger than average.
No, it's huge. I'm really, really excited to know that I'll be running full time next year for Junior Motorsports. Junior Motorsports, it speaks for itself. They're a great group of people, a very large group of people that are just purely dedicated to Xfinity racing. And obviously Dale Earnhardt, LW, and Kelly, and all those guys, men and women there, put a lot of effort into making that team the best that it can be. And their main focus is Xfinity. And a lot of these other teams that we compete against can't say that. Their main focus is Cup. So it's going to be cool to be able to go to an organization that every single thing they're putting every single thing they can into their cars because that's what they care about. And obviously next year is next year, but it's still exciting. I'm going to tell you guys what I told my guys actually the night of our Kentucky race. And that's, hey, you know, we may have announced what's going on next year, but next year is most certainly without a doubt next year. We've still got an owner's championship to go out here and win, and we still got some race to go out here and win. And honestly, I knew we had a good car, but I didn't like think we were going to win that night. So it honestly looked really good and it came together perfectly. But I told my guys, hey, you know, until this thing's over, until the last lap at Homestead has been completed, 100% effort's going straight toward this Chip Ganassi Racing team and that 42 car. And no Chip really wants to get a championship, whether it's an Xfinity as a driver for a driver's championship or owner's championship. I want to be one of those guys that said, we got it. You know, I want to be me and it would be cool for me to be among the names of Kyle Larson and Justin Marks to say, hey, we were able to get Chip Ganassi his first championship in NASCAR. And yes, that would mean a lot to
absolutely
me.
How cool would that be?
Well, and I got to tell you, you guys looked awesome in Victory Lane. So, I mean, it's only fitting. I think I'm not putting it out of the possibilities of that repeating itself before Homestead.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
Hey, you want to hit your sponsors and tell everyone where they can follow you on social media?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's pretty simple. You can just type in my name, Tyler Reddick, and you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook. And, you know, I would be here talking to you guys if it wasn't for BBR Music Group and Dustin Lynch being on the hood of our car on Saturday night. As much as I would like to think, you know, talent gets you so far, but you can't get it done in this sport anymore without funding. And it's a huge, huge thanks to them. They've been on board since pretty much day one, and it's made everything happen. It made the world go round for us. And I would never left California if it wasn't for them. So, I mean, everything that I've been able to accomplish has been because they've believed in me and they've supported me. So big thanks to them. Big thanks to Ineos. They're on Kyle's car a lot. And Parker Store actually has been on Kyle's car once this year when he won at Dover. And they were involved on his outlaw carts and sprint cars when he was growing up.
Oh, wow.
So that's really cool, too. And obviously Chevrolet, they give us a lot of support. They do a lot to help us become better. Flagship cars were a big step in the way of getting Chevy, you know, kind of rebranding the car a little bit, making the Xfinity car look more like the Chevrolet Camaro. So big thanks to them and all they do for us. And last but not least, by any means, the people that sponsor the series, Xfinity. I mean, we wouldn't have a series sponsor if it wasn't for them.
Absolutely.
They're heavily involved at the racetrack. They're heavily involved on social media. And about every aspect you can imagine, they're putting their 110% effort forward to get the name Xfinity and get the drivers that are running Xfinity Series out there. So big thanks to them, too.
Yeah, absolutely. And thanks again. I know this has been a crazy week for you. I know it's awesome. Good busy, right? But super,
it's been a very good busy.
Yeah, man. Thank you so much for taking time to join us on the Lap Traffic Podcast. And again, man, it's the driver of the number 42, Justin Lynch, Broken Bow Records, Chip Ganassi, Chevrolet, and winner. It sounds so good to say.
Hell
right?
Yeah.
The winner.
It does sound pretty nice.
of the VisitMyrtleBeats.com 300, Tyler, the Red Rocket Reddick. Thanks again for joining us, buddy.
Thanks, man. Tony, we just talked about it a few minutes ago with the email that Scott sent us about how just chilling at the gates at New Hampshire and ticket rep comes up and, hey, you want to go into the garage? Here's some hot passes. You know, go knock yourself out. Have a great time. And we said, that's not happening in any other sport, right?
It doesn't happen.
Here we are, twice now, been able, 2 days after an Xfinity driver gets their career first win in the series, calling into our podcast. That doesn't happen in baseball. That's not happening in the NFL.
No.
Again, that's just how welcoming this sport is,
yeah,
which
I don't,
is.
I don't think Aaron Judge is calling in any podcasts.
No, definitely not.
You know?
Yeah. So again, that was awesome. Congrats on the win. Tyler, thanks for calling in.
You know what I really like that he said is next year is next year.
Absolutely.
Right? They're laser focused on winning right now.
Yeah.
And I love that.
No, absolutely. You know, we would just, you're driving for Junior Motorsports. That's got to be pretty cool. You know, we weren't trying to.
No, we weren't trying to take anything away from anything that he's doing right now at all.
No.
But that's a pretty great announcement.
That's an awesome,
you know,
an awesome thing.
But, you know, and it's cool, though. He's like, you know, that is cool and that's awesome. But, man, there's still work left to do.
Sure.
You know, we still got to finish this out. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Xfinity, you want to talk about that race,
yeah,
there,
man.
Sir?
I thought Cole Custer had him covered.
Dude, he looked real good. First race without the Cup boys in there, and he came to play. Stage one, stage two. Boy was looking to make some noise there.
Yeah. No, they're fast for sure.
And a top five still not bad, considering the points. He's tied for first with Allgaier right now in the standings. So.
I don't think we have to worry about him too much. I think he's going to take care of himself
absolutely
pretty well there.
And Tyler, I mean, that was a complete race. They finished second in both the first and second stage.
I didn't realize
yeah,
that.
Yeah, so they had a solid car.
So they
all
were second
night.
First. They didn't fade. They didn't go anywhere.
They were
digging.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's even cooler. I don't know how I missed that one.
Yeah.
I didn't. That's awesome.
First race, Xfinity playoffs. Tony, it met my expectations in terms of these guys. We've been talking about it for the last 5-6 shows, going out there and digging without the Cup guys there. And I think it's awesome that the first race of the playoffs was won by a non-playoff driver. I mean, that's really cool, in my opinion, just on how competitive these guys are going out there and winning. Now, Tyler talked about liking the Cup guys being in there, but I think that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I do too. And, you know, it's cool to hear so the guys that are running up towards the front, right? Him and Cole Custer and some of these guys going, yeah, absolutely. Let these guys in because you think you're pushing. You're not pushing.
Yeah.
And so But you know, those are the guys that are raising the bar a little bit, you know, and they're going to that next level. And so that was pretty cool. But the, you know, the one that stood out to me as well, speaking of non-regulars, turns out this Ryan Preece guy is not so bad.
Yeah.
What, he can finish fourth,
hold fifth, his own. Something yeah, like fourth. That. Yeah.
Gibbs car.
Sure.
To be fair, I mean, yeah. great equipment, but man, he makes the most of his opportunities.
Absolutely.
So that was pretty cool to see too.
Tough day for our friend Jeremy Clements. 22nd, two laps down. Hopefully those guys can get a little bit of a rebound there.
Oh yeah, they'll be fine. I have a lot of faith in those guys, and just, you know, hats off to those guys for being there. And you know, here's the thing is, you know, they're going to give it 125%.
Absolutely.
You know, good guys.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Tony, unlike the trucks, who are going to have a round of six, the Xfinity guys will follow Cup, and their first round will be knocking off the bottom four. Do you see the likes of Michael Annette, Jeremy Clements, Brendan Gaughan? Any of them going to make the cut there, do you think?
I don't know. I think the only one that might make it might be Brendan. It's going to be tough for him. I mean, just, you know, sponsorship dollars and chassis are chassis. So it's going to be tough, obviously, for Clements. But there's no quit.
No. Well, I mean, right now, they're Clements, last place right now, 6 points off the cut line. You know, so
right,
if they come back, you know,
not that far off.
Not that far off.
This, stranger things have happened.
Absolutely.
You know, so I'm going to rule them out whatsoever. So I guess we'll see.
Time will tell.
You know, William Byron.
Hey. Yeah. Right? Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
So I mean, so that was like all three series did it. So see if I get this right. Harvick, Busch, they take a hit, right?
Yeah.
Playoff.
Yeah.
William Byron.
Yep.
John Hunter Nemechek.
Yeah.
In the trucks. I mean,
there were all across the board.
All playoff, you know, favorites or, you know, in the conversation.
Contenders,
anyways,
at least,
yeah.
Right? Yeah.
And, you know, so you just don't know. You never know.
Anything can happen on the track.
That's true.
You want to talk some Cup?
Yeah, man.
Martin Truex Jr.
Oh, wow.
Again, another stage.
I've heard of him.
Once or twice or 18 times, I think, now this year.
Again, man, you can't knock it. They're doing it.
They are.
You know, like it, don't like it, whatever. They all have the same rule book.
That's right.
They figured something
They're
out.
Getting it. Kyle Busch, stage two, and race winner Kyle Busch. He led a charge that second half of the race there. He had the hammer to the metal. Or what's the hammer? Pedal to the metal?
Gosh,
I'm sorry.
Yeah. The hammer down, the pedal to the metal.
Thank you.
Snickers did good. How about that?
Snickers did good. Yes. Our friends over at My Opinion and Therefore Fact were very happy, I'm sure, with that one there. Tony, I've been complaining, as I do quite frequently, as I'm sure you all have noticed 40 shows in. I've been complaining about the schedule for a while. And I got to tell you, you know, NASCAR, maybe they're not wondering, but I, as a fan, you know, I want to see excitement, right? Everybody wants to see excitement. To open the playoffs, as they have for the past few years, Chicago, New Hampshire, Dover. Okay, good. Individually, maybe solid tracks, maybe not Chicago so much. We were talking about that before the show. Just Chicago's a snooze fest for us. You know, why you open your playoffs at a place like Chicago. But that's all changing in 2018. And I think the round one next year could actually provide a little bit more excitement. We are going to have Las Vegas, Richmond, and Charlotte open up the playoffs next year.
I like that.
I mean,
I like that mix a lot better.
The first few, I mean, why don't they just throw Pocono in there and I'll be really happy and have something to complain about, you know, like,
exactly.
Seriously. So I'm looking forward to next year when they open the first round with Las Vegas, another mile and a halfer. But I think it'll be a little bit more exciting than Chicago's opener. So I'm looking forward to that.
You said they throw in a road course in here somewhere.
They have to.
Be a happy guy.
They have to.
I think they absolutely have to.
Yeah, they have to. Tony, I missed the first part of the race a little bit there, doing some husband responsibilities.
Oh, that was your anniversary.
Yes, Sunday was our six-year wedding anniversary.
Congratulations.
Thank you. NASCAR by marriage has tolerated me for six
years. That's pretty fantastic.
Just in marriage alone.
It's been 40 shows, and we're going to have to go see, we're going to have to go to counseling.
Yeah. So I missed the first part a little bit there, but I caught the
it was the Flying Sombrero show. Those Toyotas are fast, and they're not making any secret about it. So, that's not.
One thing that interested me was the finishing of the playoff guys. They seem to finish in packs almost with Kyle Busch, Larson, Kenseth, Keselowski getting top fives. And then you had Chase, Denny, Newman, Johnson, Stenhouse, 11 to 16. So there was a gap there, which I thought was a little interesting there. But there was an interesting wreck that occurred with Dylan getting into Harvick. Lots of smoke, kind of caused a cluster beep, and involved a lot of guys. Truex got involved in that. But the one thing that I looked from that, aside from the fact that it was a bad day for my driver, was that Truex wins the stage, gets involved in a wreck at the end of stage two, and is still able to come back and get a top five. Those guys are dialed in.
They really are. And, I mean, they've got it well-rehearsed. And they've got it down. They've just, they're going next level right now. And honestly, the teams that I see, as it stands right now today, the teams that are at that next level, right? I would say Truex, Kyle Busch, Kyle Larson, and Brad Keselowski.
They're up.
Those guys are really pushing hard. They're really working hard, and they have great teams behind them in the pits. At the shops, everywhere across the board, and those four guys right now stand out to me.
Absolutely. Well, and you look at guys over at Stewart Haas, they need to get it together. They finished 36th and 37th, you know. Personally, I don't think Kurt's going to the next round. Harvick should be relatively safe just because they're only knocking it down to 12, and he's, you know, got some playoff points and a solid finish last week, so he should be fine. But if they want to even have a shot at Homestead, Stewart Haas needs to dial in a little bit better, figure out that they're lacking some speed out there. They are.
They dug themselves a hole a little bit, but, you know, a little bit of racing luck, a break here and there, and you never know.
Sure.
You know, so, long ways to go yet, but, interesting start across the board.
Absolutely.
As far as the playoffs are concerned. Oh, hey, I got to mention too.
Yes.
Did you see Erik Jones got a haircut?
I did see Erik Jones got a haircut. He looks good.
He does.
Slick Rick.
Did you see who cut it?
Someone's sister-in-law, something.
Yes, Matt DiBenedetto.
That's right. Yes. Yeah, sister-in-law that's funny.
Cut,
yes.
Which I thought was like, how random is that, right? But that's pretty cool.
Tony, we got one more race at Dover here.
It's actually boring.
It is.
But it's just kind of funny. Right.
One more race at Dover here before we go from 16 to 12. I got to be honest with you. The bottom four is exactly who I expected to be in the bottom four, with one exception. And that is the 41 and 17, I thought would be flip-flop there. I thought maybe the 41, they were having a couple good runs there as they were ending the regular season. I thought they might have been able to put it together a little bit. But right now, Stenhouse is in there. And it's still really almost anybody's game to maybe make a push there to get that 11th, 12th spot and get it in.
And I got to believe, Ryan Newman's such a good points racer. I got to believe that he's going to make one more round. Anyways.
Absolutely.
But we'll
so see. So who are you looking at maybe potentially not making it?
I would say Jamie McMurray, Ricky Stenhouse, Austin Dillon, and Casey King.
Okay. I like it.
Now, Kurt dug himself a hole, so we'll see if he can dig out of there. But
yeah.
But
I guess when I look at the bottom four as it is right now, I'm not seeing any one of them winning at Dover.
No.
You know? So, but yeah, I guess that's what kind of makes Dover a little bit more exciting going into this, knowing that it's an elimination style race. You're going to have guys going to the wall on concrete, mile track. That's going to be fun to watch.
And they got to go.
They
got to
go?
Some of those guys, I mean, there's no maybe about it.
No.
I've got to move you.
Yeah, yeah.
So
saw that happen with Ryan Newman, I think, a couple years ago to make it into the playoffs. I think he actually moved Kyle Larson.
Yeah, I mean, I got to go.
Yeah.
That's all there is to it. So.
Yep, yep. Tony, not a whole lot of silly season news, but a couple things that I thought were appropriate to throw in here. Tony, what's your take on the 22's penalty to have to sit in the car?
Most absurd thing I've ever even heard of in racing ever in my lifetime.
Right?
And now, what I'm okay with is taking the car, and they have to push it into a area that's roped off. You can't touch the car.
Yeah.
Okay, that's punishment.
Sure.
Okay, that really is. All right, so think about this. So no problem, put Joey Logano in his fire suit, in his Nomex, in his helmet, everything else, sit in a hot car for almost an hour.
Sounds real safe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ho-hum. No big deal. Put Joey Logano's golden retriever in there for an hour, and the whole world will freak out.
Sure.
Right? Sure. You can't do that to a dog.
Right.
Okay, but it's okay to do it to a driver.
Sure.
You know?
We're full of analogies tonight.
No,
I love it.
Seriously.
But though, it's a great analogy.
It's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
What did you prove exactly?
I don't know.
All right, NASCAR, if you're listening, Joey Logano doesn't work on the car, okay? I don't know why you're punishing him. Right. Put his crew chief inside the car. I don't know, whatever. Right.
Someone's going to go in the car.
Make him sit in the driver's meeting with the dunce cap in the corner. Whatever you want to do, but Joey Logano doesn't have anything to do with this.
Right. But, NASCAR did say they are open to exploring corrections to that penalty.
You think?
That was definitely an interesting one. I saw that on Twitter. I thought that was fake news for a minute. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Went back there. I guess it was in the rule book, so they're enforcing the rules. But at some point in time, we could have made an adult decision here and been
they
like,
they got to be out there. But I'm buying a free Joey. T-shirt. Okay.
That's awesome. Let's see. What else here? Did you see, Tony, that Phoenix has sold its track naming rights to ISM Vision?
ISM does a good job. They're at all the tracks.
They are at all the tracks. They put some nice screens
up. They have these screens. They come in on semi-trucks, guys, and like the semi-truck trailer opens up. And the screen is that big.
Yeah.
It pops out of this thing. It is, I don't know how long and how tall. They're gigantic.
Huge.
But they're all over the tracks, and they do a really good job.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
I'm curious to see what they're able to do now that they got their rights there.
Yeah. Speaking of sponsorship rights.
Ooh. So Monster Energy has requested additional time on an announcement on picking up the option year.
They're in for next year?
They are in for next year, but going forward, they've requested additional time to make that decision on whether they want to stick around, which I find interesting. Something tells me there's got to be something going on the inside there. I don't know what it is, but...
Well, you know, so I did a little more digging on this, so I'm just looking at Monster from as a higher level. So next year also, they're in lots of sports, right? I mean, we know them from Supercross and drag racing and everything else.
Yeah.
Well, next year, they also have to make the decision, too. They're a big partner of John Force Racing in drag racing. And I'm sure that his bill is not little.
No.
You know, so they got some big checks
to
write next
year. Well, Kurt Busch, too.
Yeah, you have Kurt Busch, you have the series title, you have John Force Racing, you have all the Supercross stuff, you have and all the other stuff that they do. They don't have unlimited amount of money. They're a corporation. They have to make their budgets as their sales up, theirs down. They're, you know, where do they spend their sponsorship dollars? So I can see that. You know, we're going to need a few more weeks to look at this.
I wonder if part of it is okay. I think NASCAR really thought, or Monster Energy, that they were going to be able to merge and maybe draw some fans from Supercross and NASCAR into Supercross, you know, and all this. And I wonder if they're just, you know, not that you could maybe expect to see something drastic numbers-wise with that, but maybe they're not seeing maybe that merge like they thought in terms of making it worth their while.
Maybe not that huge payoff, that ROI that they were looking
for. Sure, but I tell you, if they don't stick around, in my opinion, that also looks bad. On NASCAR, you had Sprint, who was around for a long time, threw a lot of money at you, and now a reputable company like Monster that's in sports marketing and advertising, and you weren't able to keep them with the premier racing in America. Like, I don't know.
It's going to be a tough sell.
Yeah.
And then
if they leave, who's going to come in?
Right. Well, and NASCAR's going to have to hustle. They better be playing it. They better be working on Plan B, you know. Now, truthfully, it's a big deal. So,
sure,
I'm sure everything will work out.
And Tony, I guess the only other real big news.
I have full confidence in NASCAR and the France family. They've never let us down before.
Absolutely. Oh, wow. Tony, the 20 and 41 still no announcements for next year. And I guess I'm not horribly surprised, but I guess I am a little surprised just based on the fact of all of the other news that's already come out, you know, midway through 17.
Yeah.
You know, I wonder if these guys aren't going to have any announcements until the offseason at some point.
I can't believe that, you know, they're folding tents and going home.
Yeah.
You know, 77 and some of these guys, I'm having a hard time understanding all of it. And, you know, I guess all good things come to an end.
But, sure. Yeah.
But I guess we'll find out soon enough.
Tony, are you ready to go to work, my man?
Sounds like it's time to go.
All right. It's time for another segment of the Crew Chief Corner with the Lap Traffic's very own Crew Chief Tony Smith. All right, Tony, today's question comes to us from our friend Scott. Tony, Scott wants to know, what's the major difference between large race teams like Joe Gibbs and a team like Landon Castles? Obviously, there's a lot, right? There's a ton. But what are some of the key features
there? Yeah, so resources, right? But there's two things. And Landon Castle, if you listen to our earlier shows, he hit on one of them. And it's the factory involvement. And this really surprised me when he said this. So even though they're flying the Ford banner, you know, on everything they have and do, they don't get to go to the wind tunnel. You know, they don't get the factory support and the engineering to help them, you know, make their cars a little bit faster from Ford that, you know, the Penske's and Stuart Haas Racing's get. So that's a big one. The other one, though, is, so I'll use, so Hendrick, just because I just saw this. So they go to the GM Performance Center and they sit in the simulator. In this simulator, so they have, while they're, I hate to say, like iRacing almost, like they're, it's just literally a, you know, video game kind of simulator. But every change that they can make to a shock, spring, air pressure, anything that they can do, it reacts to it. So that's why when these guys unload their car, they're running within a hundredth of a second of what they did in the simulator. They got it dialed in quickly. Well, Landon Castle doesn't have a simulator unless, you know, Love's Truck Stop has one in there, and it really stinks. But that's really the biggest thing, is having those resources available to you, especially from the factory support is the big one. You know, Landon Castle's team doesn't get to take their cars and set them up in there and have those engineers, you know, the expert. They have aerospace engineer guys that work for these auto companies that help set these up, and they don't have that. So that's a disadvantage before you even unload the trailer. So that's the big one right there. So thanks for the question, Scott.
Awesome.
Keep them coming, guys.
Awesome.
Appreciate it.
Awesome. Lucky dogs?
Let's do it.
Tony, who's your lucky dog of the weekend?
The Red Rocket.
Oh, yeah.
I like saying that.
I like that. That's cool. He seemed to be cool that.
He didn't hate it.
No, he didn't hate it. No.
I'm okay with that.
He stayed on for the interview.
He did. Yeah, he did, man. But no, Tyler Reddick just, I mean, they massacred it. So
yes. And
it was cool to see. He's not a full-time guy. So that was cool.
Absolutely. Tony, I gotta break the fourth wall here, if you will, and give my lucky dog to NASCAR by Marriage, who has put up with me for a very long time.
Maria's amazing. She's also our PR rep. She's literally 4 feet 10 inches of amazing.
Of and sass. There's definitely a lot of sass there. But she has supported me in multiple endeavors and things, i.e. this podcast, and I've sacrificed a lot of time that probably should go to her. So props to NASCAR by Marriage for putting up with my ass. Yeah. So, Tony, who are you putting a lap down?
NASCAR. The whole Joey thing.
I went a little bit more specific and added rule book.
Yeah, I just don't even understand that one. But like I said, you put a dog in there, PETA just, you know, massacre the place, right?
Right.
But
yeah.
Person. That's cool.
That's all good.
Yeah, whatever.
Talk
yeah, matter of fact, don't even put him in there. Make sure he's got a helmet and stuff on, too.
Right. Yeah. Off. No airflow. Nothing.
Yeah, nothing.
Yeah. Oh, good Lord.
What about you?
The rule book. That's, they're getting my lap down flag. You ready for some listener picks?
Yep.
Mick at GoDucks42 underscore Mick's lucky dog is Spinhouse. That was his lap down last week, and he had a nice rebound. And his lap down are the 78 and 88 for that parking lot crash that they had there. I saw that. That was really weird. Those guys kind of just bumped into each other, backed up into each other. They couldn't get out of that that yeah. smoke screen there.
No,
that was
there. That was a hell of a lot of smoke.
It was, yeah.
That
yes.
Was, did you see
that? And that time it was good they threw the caution for smoke.
Yeah, finally. you see the in car from Kurt Busch?
I did.
That was
nuts,
dude.
Nowhere
to go, man.
No, nothing. It's nothing. Hugh at Bucky515's lucky dog, Tyler Reddick. His lap down is the 22, playing games with inspection instead of running practice to improve the car. And you know what? Four tries, you know.
Fair point,
but he didn't need to sit in the car. I mean,
that's exactly, like I said,
know, it's
set
crazy.
The car over there, whatever,
yeah.
But like I said, Joey's lock, not,
you know, not maybe don't let him have any conversation with the crew chief, you know, separate him, you know, yeah. So that they can't get information going together or whatever.
Lots and lots of other ways to do that. Like I said, Joey did not set up the car. Matter of fact, I'm pretty sure that he's not allowed to touch any of the tools, if I had to guess. But
The Loose Lugs podcast at Lug Podcast, their lucky dog, Tyler Reddick, first career win in Xfinity. Starting to see a trend here, sir.
Yep.
Lap down, Byron. Wrong time to lose the engine there. That was... Tough break there. Craig Smolders at Shoots underscore Smolders, lucky dog, 78, third place after the wreck. I agree completely there. They got that car dialed in and the team's dialed in. They are focused. They are revving to go. Lap down, 18 for calling the lobster an equestrian. I missed that.
That's not a crustacean. It's an equestrian.
Equestrian.
All right, then.
They're running horses, apparently.
Okay, all right, then. I missed that.
I did, too. William Soak, the underscore Will Sum 429's a lucky dog. Ryan Truex spoiled it for the playoff drivers. Lap down, Dylan, for taking out so many playoff guys. I agree. Steve Linden at SC Linden's lucky dog is Tyler Reddick. Lap down, the Loudon Lobster. Rest in peace. Andrew at, oh,
Can't see Ann's
lucky dog. Drama going into Dover with the bubble drivers.
There's
setting it up for
that.
A show, right?
Yep.
Looking forward to that. Lap down, the 5 and the 41 need wins, and they don't have the speed.
That's a fact.
Zach at Zach BYRN's lucky dog. Kyle Busch for not getting caught in the wreck. Lap down, NASCAR for the penalty with Logano.
Amen.
Jeff at Gray Wolf Pack 5's lucky dog has to be the 18. Awesome high-speed burnout. That was pretty cool.
That was.
And last but not least, our friends over at Yunker Motorsports have named themselves the lucky dog. They finally got to get on the track for the first time this season. Brought it home 15th. Still have a little work to do on the car, but it was nice. And I know those guys have been itching to get out there
that
on the
has,
track.
That has got to be a relief.
So,
get
congrats
out there,
to them.
Run, load it up. Good job, guys.
Make sure you follow at Yunker Motorsports. Give Chloe a follow over there, too. She put an awesome video package together.
Chloe Yunker, follow her out there, man. She puts together the coolest videos. Any track she goes to, they're super cool.
Yes. So, congrats to those guys. Big supporters of the show, and congrats to finally getting out on the track, guys.
Hey, speaking of high-speed burnouts, there's a lot of conversation about burnouts.
Yes.
What are your thoughts on...
You know... I, it's cool from a fan perspective. When you go to a race, you get to see the winner tear it down. We're having so many issues with cars missing and not failing, or I'm sorry, not passing post-race inspection. And a lot of thought is going into, well, they're doing the burnouts on purpose so that those things can't get measured. I don't know what the solution is to that. I think it would be bad for the sport if NASCAR has to get so dialed in, like that third grade teacher that you right. hated with the rules and when you had to sit down, when you had to do this, when you had to do that. I think NASCAR needs to revamp some things from the pre-race inspection process, the qualify, you know, all that, to where they don't need to tell the teams that, hey, you can't do a burnout.
Right.
You know, there's, in my opinion, there has to be some way that they can fix this tech inspection process so that they don't have to be that disciplined in limiting the celebration.
Yeah, and it stinks that they're, but it's almost like they're going to have to because they're ripping the quarter panels off the cars.
Yeah.
And then NASCAR gets in there. They can't tell what happened at the burnout. They can't tell what happened during the race. They have no baseline of information, which makes it.
So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, what are you going to tell the guys that can, you know, do the Polish victory lap and
man,
that's
you,
it? You know,
you
like
a burnout, you rip it off of there.
Well, I guess that could be it, too, you know.
You know, you're going to have something else to happen. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know how to say it. I'm way over the burnout.
I get that.
So, yeah, you know, it's a 900-horsepower car. I get it. Can do a burnout. Got it.
Yeah.
Okay, I understand that.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people like them. They stick around for it.
Sure.
So, and I'm not against that.
I just think NASCAR's got to be able to adjust something so they don't have to penalize that.
We give NASCAR a lot of grief, but then there's occasions like this where I don't want their job.
No.
What I mean?
Yeah.
You know, really? Really, guys? You know, I have to police burnouts now?
Right. Exactly. You know? Yeah. Yeah,
so, 100%. I was veered off course.
Right, there, but, it's what we're here for.
Want to get into some odds?
I do. Over at New Hampshire, I had set Martin Truex at +250. He came in at +200.
Wow, pretty close.
Larson, I put at +500. He came in at +800. And Harvick, I put at +500. He came in at +800. So Vegas probably collected some coin this weekend.
Yeah, they did.
Going into Dover, I am setting Ole Seventime as +500. Brad Keselowski, I'm putting at +750. And maybe a little bit of a sleeper pick, Matt Kenseth, +900.
Yeah, he's not going to go down without swinging, I can tell you that.
No, sir. Tony, who's your picks for Dover?
I'm going to go with Snickers.
Ooh, all right.
Kyle Busch.
I am going to go with, as our friend Mick at Go Ducks 42 underscore Mick would say, Young Money Larson. That is who I am going with.
Right.
Tony, I feel like we're missing something with the picks, and I figured out what it was the other day. Listening to our favorite sports radio station, 97.1, when they do their football picks, they've got like this awesome music playing lowly in the back. We need like some theatrical pick music.
All right, well, I'll tell you what, then talk to our engineer when we're done.
Oh, okay. All right. At bcrowd4.
At thankyouprofessor.com.
All right, so those are our picks going into Dover.
Make sure you get them in.
Yes. Yeah. Make sure you submit your picks.
Cody, we're off next week. Don't submit a pick.
Who's that?
Cody.
Oh, Cody. Cody. I thought you said Tony. I'm like, what? No.
No, we're off. So
we're off. Yeah. Cody doesn't need to submit a pick.
You get a bye.
You get a bye.
I mean, no, I'm kidding.
Everyone, make sure you check out our website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow us on Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. Retweet, tell your friends, listen to the show, subscribe, download, whatever you got to do. Tony, next week, we've already got our guest locked in.
We do, and it's a good one.
It's a good one. Mr. Ryan Truex is joining us next week, which
is very cool. We've been trying to get in for a while.
Yes, yes.
He's been a busy guy, which is good.
Absolutely.
I like hearing that. So.
So, yeah, we're very excited.
Yeah, that's good. And a big thanks again to Tyler Reddick for joining us this week. And make sure you tune in each and every week. Otherwise, you will be a lap down.
See ya.